Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Very pleased to bring in one of my good friends, the play-by-play voice, and does an awesome job, Tim Newton. Timmy, how are you?
I'm doing fine. I have one question, though, before we start.
Sure.
What do you think Jack Chesbrough would have said if they said, you know, Jack, you really shouldn't face guys the third time through the order? You think he'd have gotten to his 41 wins that year?
He would not have won 41 games, but he also probably would have told him to stick it.
I think things have changed a little bit since then.
A little bit. Tim, I've experienced white outs, gold outs, maize outs, scarlet outs, ground outs. So, you know, tell us what it's like, an experience of a blackout.
Well, I've had blackouts, but having nothing to do with football. It's hard to do a lot with black and gold as your school color sometimes.
Yes. Yeah.
The problem, and Penn State, the blue is a beautiful blue, and I think most people understand what color it is. If you say gold, you get everything from bright yellow to old gold and everything in between. So if you try to have a stadium that's all gold, it doesn't look like it matches. I mean, you got mustard in some spots. So black is the only thing that you can do en masse. I mean, everybody can kind of do black. And the fact that it's going to be a night game, and it just kind of works out that way.
Yeah. Aiden O'Connell is a guy, is a sixth-year guy who has always had to fight for his spot. What has made him a really good Purdue quarterback?
He's really smart. He doesn't panic. He is very accurate, maybe the most accurate guy we've had since Breeze was here 20 years ago. He set the single season completion percentage record last year. He's like Sean Clifford, he's going to be 24 years old on Thursday night. It's his birthday. So there's not a whole lot. Plus, he's married now. So you know that he's learning to deal with all sorts of things off the field. And his wife, by the way, is a wonderful young lady who played volleyball at Purdue, mm-hmm. and they are now Purdue's power couple.
Yeah.
But Aiden he's just an unflappable guy. He came here as a walk-on, was, depending on who you believe, either the eighth or ninth string guy when he came here in 2017. He came here Brohm's first year. And, here he is going to be the starting quarterback again this season, and I think he has a chance to play beyond this season at the next level.
David Bell, not just a good receiver, a terrific receiver, and not only that, a guy who is great at getting a 50-50 ball. He's in the NFL where he should be, rights academically ineligible. So where do they turn to in this offense, and how concerned is Jeff Benn about losing a guy that was great at 50-50 balls with maybe some guys that might not be as great at 50-50 balls?
Yeah, and I think that's really a concern, a legitimate concern, when you play against a team like Penn State that you know has a really solid secondary and is going to contest a lot of catches. They got a little bit lucky through the transfer portal. Two guys from Iowa that I think are going to play a lot. Probably both will be in the starting lineup, I would think, or at least play a considerable amount, and that's Charlie Jones and Tyrone Tracy. You'll see Tracy lined up in the slot. You may see him lined up as a running back. Mm-hmm. It'll be similar to what Purdue did with Jackson Anthrop the last several seasons.
Right, yep.
And then Charlie Jones gives you that the one dimension that Purdue's not had in recent years, and that is the ability to return kicks. I mean, we are the kings of the fair catch, and I think that's going to change this year. But, a lot of people have asked, how do you replace George Karloftis? How do you replace David Bell? And the answer is you don't with one person, because you don't have a lot of those guys sitting around. But I do think that they've got enough talent spread across the board, including the tight end. You know, Payne Durham, I think, is going to be a big target this year. I think in terms of production and spreading the ball around, it's not going to be a problem. The problem is, can you make those 50-50 catches that David Bell made? And that's something that we'll start to see on Thursday night.
Payne Durham is, I mean, I think you downplayed him a little bit. I think he's terrific. I watch him play. What makes him, when Aiden needs something, how important is Payne Durham in that moment where Aiden needs something?
Well, he's a great red zone target. He had six touchdown catches last year, and he's a guy, especially I think when you get down close to the goal line, that Purdue is looking for. You know, he came from a lacrosse background. He didn't play football until his senior year in high school. So he's got a little bit of that lacrosse mentality. He's a physical guy. He's a little bit of a free spirit. He's one of those guys that shaved his head in training camp and convinced other people to do likewise. I will say that Purdue lost, the one loss they had in training camp was Garrett Miller, who was going to be their second string tight end. And I think both those guys, I think Durham and Miller have NFL potential. And especially Miller was a guy that I think, again, down around the goal line, was going to be a big part of their package. So you're going to see a lot less two tight end sets than I think you would have had Miller not been hurt. But Durham is he's a good blocker. He's got sure hands. And he's kind of got that lacrosse mentality that he's a free spirit out there, and he's a very physical football player.
The running game, we know it's been well documented here that Penn State had struggles in its running game last year. Purdue had struggles as well. How do you view it?
You know, there's never going to be a balance with Coach Brown. They're never going to be a 200-yard rushing, 200-yard passing team. That's just not his DNA. They have to be able to run enough to keep defenses honest and to keep them from putting, really spreading out and double covering and doing all sorts of things to make it hard for the receivers. I do think the running game will be a little bit better because I think the offensive line will be better. I think it's the deepest offensive line that he's had. And the good news from Purdue's standpoint is there's a chance that all five guys will be back next year. The left tackle is a fifth-year senior, but he has a sixth-year coming to him if he wants it.
Right.
So it's a group that I think got some continuity last year and now is going to take that next step this year. You'll see probably two guys run the ball, King Daru, who will be the starting running back, and then the guy that's probably been the surprise of the training camp is Dylan Downing. He's he's a local kid from Carmel, which is just outside Indianapolis. He went to UNLV, transferred back into the state. And he lost about 15 pounds in the offseason, and he looks terrific. And I think he'll be the guy that spells Daru coming off the bench Thursday night.
Yeah. Defensively, George Karlaftis was not a good college player. He was a great college player, and a justified first-round pick. Same story. You're not going to be able to replace him. And then Melvin Grant transferred out. So how does that play out on defense?
Well, I think Grant's departure was a little bit surprising. He wound up, I think he thought he had bigger territories and bigger pastures to find, and he wound up transferring to Kansas. So you wonder if he maybe had some second thoughts after that was done.
Let me put it this way. That's bigger pasture.
Bigger pasture. That's true.
Leave it at that's a technical term, but yes.
Yeah. I think they seem to be okay at the safety spot. Cam Allen, who played a lot last year, and Chris Jefferson, a kid who came in from a Division II school, those will be the starting safeties. They brought a kid in from another Division II program, a kid named Bryce Hampton, coming in from Adams State, and he'll be the third guy back there. Up front, again, they're very deep up front. I think they can certainly rotate two deep, and there are places on the line that they can actually rotate three deep, which they haven't been able to do here for a while. They brought a guy in from Murray State that I think they're high on, a guy named Scotty Humpick, who I think is the ability to rush the passer. Kadren Jenkins had a solid freshman or sophomore year last season, and I think he'll be a force. But, there's nobody that's going to be like Karlaftis. I mean, Karlaftis demanded a double team every time. The defenses had to account for where he was. And, of course, that was able to free the linebackers up a little bit more. So it's going to have to be sacked by committee this year rather than rely on George to get all the pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah, how good, though, is Branson Dean on the inside?
Branson Dean and Lawrence Johnson are both really solid. I know I heard Coach Franklin yesterday single Dean out as one of the players on defense. And he's a kid, fifth-year senior from Indianapolis, and who's just kind of, he's a program player. He's developed over the years, didn't play a lot early in his career, but as he's gotten bigger and stronger and learned the defense, he and Johnson, both fifth-year guys inside. And, of course, we have a Penn State transfer, Cole Prevard, from another kid from Carmel, Indiana, that'll be supplying some backup, too, on the interior. So, Dean is a pretty good player. Best player on defense is Jalen Graham.
Yes.
Jalen's a guy that's going to play at the next level. He's moved back and forth in his career from linebacker to safety.
Mm-hmm.
I would assume he'll line up tomorrow night at strong side linebacker or Thursday night strong side linebacker, but you may see him drop back at times into the secondary.
Yeah, no, that's everybody looks at number six and they go, player. And then there's Corey Trice, And there's Reese Taylor, who transferred in from Indiana. I mean, how do you look at your corners? Because I know a couple of them have been banged up and have finally been able to get themselves back in.
They really like the corners, but you mentioned they had neither of the guys that you mentioned, Corey Trice nor Jamari Brown, have practiced very much this fall.
Right.
They'll both play this week, and I would assume Trice will start. I think Taylor may get the other starting spot, but you'll see Brown in there as well. But you just don't know. You don't know what you don't know. And until those guys get on the field on game night and have to play at full speed and really test themselves, we'll see how long they can hold up. If they're healthy, that's a pretty good group. And Taylor, just as Dylan Downing was kind of the surprise of the guy that really stepped forward on the offensive side, Taylor was probably that guy on the defensive side. And, you know, he's a kid who was a quarterback in high school, went down to Indiana, and I don't think fit their system very well and vice versa. And basically they kind of let him roam a little bit freer and just play more freely in the secondary. And his, I think you're starting to see his athleticism really come to the forefront.
You talked about the return part because, I mean, Charlie Jones is a terrific return. He was terrific at Buffalo, terrific at Iowa. But then there's the kicking of the ball. There has to be a lot of confidence in Jeff as to the guys who kick the ball because Finneran is really good. The punter's really good. That's a big plus.
Yeah, Finneran had two games last year where he struggled. In the middle of the season, all of a sudden he lost his accuracy. Other than that, he didn't miss a kick all year. You know, the one question I think about Mitchell is his range. I've been told he connected on a 57-yarder in practice last week. So, you know, maybe he's improved his range a little bit, but he's very accurate and very dependable. Hit the game-winning kick in the Music City Bowl against Tennessee. So he certainly has been able to kick under pressure. Jack Ansell, you know, everybody, I think there's a rule that everybody has to have at least one Australian punter on their roster.
Yes.
So we went and got ours. You know, Ansell was a kid that I think, or a kid, actually, he's probably the oldest guy on the team. But he's a guy that frustrated Jeff last year a little bit because you would see him boom the ball in practice, 70, 75 yards. And then he got in the game, and he just, sometimes the game got a little bit too big for him. And there were a lot of 25 and 30-yard punts. And they actually went to a walk-on named Brendan Cropsey for a few games last year. But Ansell has won the job again this fall, and I think they're waiting to see if that year of now becoming familiar with all the Big Ten stadiums or at least all the atmosphere to whether he can really reach his true potential.
Really looking forward to seeing you on Thursday. It's been a little while since I've seen you, so can't wait to get in there, and this will be a fun game on Thursday night.
It's supposed to be a beautiful night. We got about 1 or 2 inches of rain last night. I think it's all washed out, so the rest of the week should be pretty clear.
Tim, thanks so much, my friend. Look forward to it.
Steve, we'll see you on Thursday.